Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Every smile hides a secret, and some of them are deadly. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreeke.
Diddy facing more allegations. It's pretty much a given. This time, the lawsuit is coming from someone who was 10 years old at the time. Claiming that they were an aspiring rapper, got a chance to meet with Diddy, got a chance to get into his compound, his world. And then the allegation goes that the rapper, Diddy, drugged him during a music audition. It goes into great detail, but we'll kind of leave it at that. The civil lawsuit filed this last week by Busby is in addition to all the other civil cases that are going on. Awaiting, obviously, civil trials. But as we know, the feds, once these civil ones come out, they've been just kind of like, hey, maybe you want to look into this one too, which is what eventually led to the current federal charges. This is a civil one. Joining me to discuss, Robin Dreeke, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. The numbers keep dropping in terms of the age of these victims. What the hell? You know, when we hear of predators, age is always a real disturbing thing to me, especially when it gets like really, I mean, it's disturbing all around, but when you start to get like, I mean, 10 years old, that's young. And then you have predators that get younger. I'm hoping to God it stops here, but I don't know that it will. What's your thoughts on this so far?
I think it'll go as low as parents are bringing their kids to Diddy.
Yeah.
You know, I can't imagine it's going to go lower than this, though, because this is kind of the bottom end, I would think, of kids trying to break into this industry. Hopefully. I'm kind of shocked by this age to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, but when you have that mentality of I'll do anything it takes, and you think that you, when you're naive and you don't understand the world and industry, you think and you get easily convinced that this is the way it works.
Yeah.
And you get groomed in really rapidly. And in this case is grooming through drugs. Nothing becomes surprising anymore, but again, even the type of sexual assault just is more, I think everything keeps going back to power and control.
Yeah.
Trying to exercise power and control over others.
Obviously these are allegations right now. Nothing's been proven in court. It's a civil suit. Let's talk about the parents a little bit. You know, bringing their kids to Diddy. I mean, people do this all the time, not just to Diddy. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of stars out there, and there's plenty of decent ones, too, who truly are looking out for those that are coming after them and, you know, paying it forward, essentially. How can I help you? We're going to give you some insight into this, and, you know, in a good way, in a good mentoring way. But then you have ones like this that take advantage of that idea and take advantage of people who are trusting in a very rare situation. I mean, it's not often that you're going to have Diddy coming up to you going, I think your son's the next big star. I mean, that's what most of these parents just would dream of having happen to them and their child. So they think, oh, my God, Sean Combs wants to work with my kid. And then Sean Combs requests, hey, drop him off at the studio. We're going to do this or that. And would you drop your 10-year-old off with anybody else that you don't know? Probably not. But this idea, this idea that, oh, well, they'll be safe. What could possibly go wrong? It's all going to be adults. It's a professional setting for those people who've never been into a music industry or to the studio settings. They think it's going to be great. I mean, what do we have here for responsibility on parts of the parents in terms of blindly just let their kids go to do whatever they think is going to be great and exciting at that moment in time or beneficial?
So I am always cautious about any kind of victim blaming in here, especially when it comes to parents in this case, because again, we do these thought experiments. We have deep empathy where we just see the context through the parents' eyes, and you hit keywords in there. They would feel safe leaving their child off for this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Yeah.
And if you are being, again, when you talk about grooming and you talk about cult mentalities, what's most likely going on is there's love bombing There's acceptance bombing. There's welcome to the club bonding that's going on between, well, probably not Diddy personally, but the staff that surrounds him, the group thing that says, hey, this is calm. It's what we do. Hey, welcome aboard. Big smiles, high energy, very optimistic place. So you feel embraced, you feel warm, you feel loved, you feel safe. And so you drop off your child. And then what happens next is the assault of however it escalates. And then I was reading the, you know, the charges that they're saying, it sounded very much like what happens in these situations when you're dealing with children that have been sexually assaulted and abused in any way. They use shame against them. You know, human beings were very susceptible to shaming, mm-hmm. hugely, because genetically and biologically, it says that we're not going to be a part of the tribe. We're not going to be affiliated. That it's not good for our brain health. And so they'll use shame as a lever of influence and control and manipulation to not share with your parents, not share with anything else what happened here. Otherwise, you will no longer be special if you share this.
Yeah.
So this is a welcome to the special club. We're going to do these things to you. We've done these things to you. And now we're going to hold it above your head that this was your choice. Look what you chose to do. And so they victim blame and shame the child into not disclosing. But in this case, and in many cases, what happens is that the parents see a change in the behavior and it makes them probe deeper. And so I do give credit to the parents in most of these cases that they acted on good faith. They acted on feeling safe because the predators made them feel that way. Mm-hmm. And then they then saw the change in behavior in their children and said, what happened? What's going on? And they probed. So that's what I think.
And the thing is there's so much of this out there. You know, you are a parent. You know, I know yours are older than mine now. I'm going through the tween into teen years, and you know, you've been there too. And it's a difficult juggling act. Any parent knows that, of letting them find their freedom, letting them kind of create their own voice, and then encouraging that. I mean, that's what we want to do as parents: follow who you are and what you want to do, while being some good, you know, guardrails along the way. But there are those moments where it's like, yeah, this could be like really, really good for you, but I'm putting some blind faith into people that I don't really know, to get you there. Are we in a place where that just needs to completely change, where this blind faith, we just need to stop having, because there's too many people who rely on that as being a thing to prey upon children? Do we just need to have a more open world where it's like, yeah, you can go into this, but I'm going to hang out and watch on the sideline? But even then, many parents went in to do that sort of thing, and they kind of got ushered away, and they somehow got separated. I mean, I'm not blaming these parents. I really am not. I can't imagine being in their shoes and the guilt they must feel. But how do you avoid this sort of thing? You know, when if your kid does get approached by something that is like their dream, and one of the biggest people from that dream world is right there saying, hey, you can be a part of this. And this can happen in anything. It doesn't have to be superstar celebrity. It can be, you know, I want to be this career. And then somebody from that career reaches out, let me help you. Let me show you what this is all about. A lot of times, innocent and good. Not always. How do parents combat this sort of thing when you have situations like this?
This is a great question, and I'm glad we're going down this road, Tony. To me, everything comes down to, and this is everything in life, absolutely everything, work, home, play. I don't care what it is, healthy relationships. And what are healthy relationships? Healthy relationships are where there's open, honest communication, transparency, and vulnerability. Vulnerability means that you feel safe sharing things that are going a little sideways because no one is taking your shame and holding it in front of you. And when you have a pattern with your own children of understanding and recognizing what healthy behaviors and relationships look like and what we only accept into our lives, my family, what we did with every situation, with everyone we dealt with every teacher, with every college application, with every, you know, my kids moving through college and everything else, was always assessing if something felt a little off. We then immediately went to, is this a healthy relationship? Are they being open? Are they being transparent? Are they being completely free with the information and allowing us in their lives? Because relationships are a balance. They need to be give and take in both sides. They need to be in balance. And if you're approaching a situation, a group, an organization that your child wants to be involved in, and you as a parent want transparency, want involvement, or at least being able to be there, not as a snowplow in front, not as a helicopter above, but on the sidelines to observe and watch. A healthy group and organization relationship will say, yeah, no problem. You can sit watching over there. You can observe over here. If you're not getting that, that's when my red flags go up and say, and seeing, then you have the conversation with a child that says, hey, like in my case, you know, my son and daughter, Kevin and Caitlin, I say, you know, Kevin, remember we talked about what healthy relationships look like when healthy things, yes, Dad, I remember. This seems a little off to me. What do you think? And again, we have a conversation about this and say, remember, if this is meant to be and it's good, it's going to be healthy. Because if we're seeing unhealthy things today, it's not like it's going to get better tomorrow. And it's not something you want to be part of, because unhealthy things don't lead to healthy places. Mm-hmm. That's how I deal with it.
It's a very good way of looking at it. And especially when they can understand what that's all about, they can help get themselves or prevent themselves from going to those situations when they don't have you to ask the question to, when they're out there in the world. They can already have that in their mind of, is this healthy? Is this not? A lot of it, I would say, probably is going in with the character of the human that you've helped to create to be able to manage and navigate those situations in a good way rather than not having those tools. And I think the reality is a lot of kids don't have those tools. A lot of parents don't have those tools. Yeah. They're operating from the same excitement as the kid.
And that's okay. You know, we all, I got my goosebumps going on this one because that's what Unbreakable Alliances is, yeah, is all about. It's, this is about understanding that we are not the all answers to everything. You know, every time us as a human being, as an individual, as you, Tony, face something for the very first time, because we have a lot of firsts in life. The first time we experience bringing our child to a sporting event, the first time we have our child going to ninth grade, you know, these are a lot of firsts for us.
Yeah.
But luckily, there's other people in our lives that it's not a first for them. That's why we have healthy relationships with these people, so we can ask questions, we can get advice and guidance, and they can be our loving critics for us as we're going through our first, so then we can help someone going through their first. And so to do so in a vacuum and making guesses, that can lead to up and down results. I remember, you know, when both my kids applying to the colleges they wanted to go to, like my son wanted to go to the Naval Academy, mm-hmm, and they had a set of criteria that they're looking for, and we couldn't meet one necessarily because there was an unhealthy relationship and something that was going on in high school. And so we immediately backed out and said, nope, we're not doing this crazy. Mm-hmm. So the next thing I did was I didn't have an answer for it, even though I went to the Naval Academy. So what did I do? I called the Naval Academy. I called the admissions office. I said, listen, you say you're looking for this criteria. We got an unhealthy relationship here that's going on, so we're not doing that. Mm-hmm. What specifically are you looking for and what ideas do you have that we can supplement something over here to matter? And it's like, oh yeah, that's not a big deal. We see it all the time. We just want to know what he's doing with his time. So if you do X, Y, and Z, it'll fit perfectly. I'm like, answer is done. And yeah, you see, we moved away from the unhealthy crazy. Didn't guess at it. I just called the source, yeah, with reps and said, all right, what do I do next?
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. It really does. There's so much to go through in this, but I think there was a healthy, interesting conversation about this case. Not so much about the celebrity and everything, but how can this stuff be applied? Because I think a lot of parents are looking at this case, going, "Shit!" Like,
yeah, you don't want to be afraid.
You don't want to be framed. You don't want to be afraid. You don't want to have to go through something like this. But it really does make you think. Let's talk about Chris Brown and Diddy. This is a new allegation that has come out. This is not accusing Diddy directly, but this is kind of another one of those where, hey, at the party, just similar, we've seen allegations also against who did we have last week? I believe it was Kanye West, correct?
Right.
We had those allegations. I just want to say the wrong person. again, allegations, that's where it is. It's a civil case. But we have another one here. This is coming out of the Chris Brown documentary that is on Netflix right now, which I had a chance to watch just the other day. This guy, I mean, Chris Brown, we know we've seen this story for more than a decade now. The allegations, we've seen the video, we've seen the pictures of what he did to Rihanna. That's pretty much out there as fact and truth. He's done his own documentary about it, trying to atone for everything. But this clearly is another pattern. If these allegations are true, I mean, it's kind of like once an abuser, always an abuser. Some of them break their cycle, some of them stop, but a lot of them don't. And Chris Brown seems to be one that hasn't. We've heard rumblings and rumors over the years after Rihanna that this guy still does what he wants to do. It's kind of his world. And then these horrible allegations of this sexual assault that took place at the Diddy party. It's more evidence that Diddy just kind of had this atmosphere of, yeah, bring who you want here to this land because we have different laws and rules in Diddy world.
Right. Yeah, it's the law of Diddy rules. Yeah. It's, you know, unfortunately, in these cases, it's challenging. Again, you have the, you know, the horrendous act that was done against the supposed victim. And then you have, you know, like, in so I'm just kind of reversing it. So he says he's innocent. His lawyer says he's innocent. And they're saying it, people are just jumping on the bandwagon. Well, maybe, but that's why in these cases, you need a lot of really good hard evidence if you can get it, you know, photos, texting, you know, witnesses, things like that. Because when you actually, like you said, when you have a pattern behavior of having this kind of behavior with others, you're going to have a lot of legit claims against you. And you're also going to have a lot of people that are going to just try to jump on that bandwagon. But going back to the perpetrator of the crime to begin with, if you didn't establish a pattern behavior of having this abhorrent behavior, no one would be coming at you to begin with.
Well, I mean, what is shocking to me about this, the whole Chris Brown thing, number one, the fact that he's still a celebrity, the fact that people still listen to his music and go to his concerts. What he did to Rihanna, I mean, he tried to push her out of a moving car. And then he beat the hell out of her while she was in the driver's seat or in the passenger seat. I mean, this is if it was on video, it'd be just as bad as the Cassie video, if not worse, with what we saw on her injuries and such. Yet we somehow as a society took a step back after a little bit of time and said, oh, he deserves a second chance. It's okay. We're not saying that about Diddy. We don't say that about a lot of people, but somehow Chris Brown survived this. And I still don't quite understand why or how. Because a lot of people do not, but somehow he keeps having hit records. Kids are going to his concerts. Kids that weren't even around when he beat the hell out of Rihanna. It would be like when we were kids, if like we were excited to go see Ike Turner. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. But somehow this is like a thing. And he still fills stadiums with young people half his age that just seem to kind of go along with the fandom of he's Chris Brown. He's great. Oh, that's all in the past. And not seeming to think that this person is capable of clearly what he is.
I think there's a few things there. You know, I'm trying to remember the details. I wasn't covering true crime at the time when this happened, but you know, throwing some conjecture in there in my way back hat. One, the volume is different between Chris Brown and Diddy. That's part of it as well. And the age. Because with Diddy, people were suspecting the ages are going to keep getting younger. Not at the time with Chris Brown, it was Rihanna.
Yeah.
And it was celebrity on celebrity. And this is celebrity on victim, you know, with Diddy as well. So I think, I don't think any one thing is going to be the difference between Diddy and him, but they're all like pebbles that are tilting the scales. And then because celebrities doing bad things to other celebrities doesn't garner as much sympathy from a general population as celebrities doing things to the general population and victimizing them.
Cassie was a celebrity. It was all celebrity on celebrity, both of them.
Yeah, I know. I still think it must be volume, and maybe at the time he was owning it differently than Diddy is, because you know, you had the video back then of Chris Brown and you didn't have video of Diddy. And so
you mean what, reverse that is what you had. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's a puzzle though. I don't quite understand it either, but I think it's the people and the type of victims that are involved, I think, rule a lot of that. And also the timing.
Yeah.
And you know, timing has a lot to do with this too. I mean, we covered this too on the Menendez case. You know, how people viewed sexual assault at different time periods in our history is very different, believe it or not.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think we're a lot more aware and sensitive to those things now than we even were 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. So the impact of someone's actions today for doing the same act that you know, 10 years ago wouldn't have been a big deal, might be a bigger deal now.
We are more sensitive to it because we've lived through it. Those who have not don't seem to be. I'm talking about the young fans, and I think that's the disconnect here. The young fans of 20-some-year-olds that are into Chris Brown, hell, I mean, even like early 30s, they may not have any recollection. I mean, they would have probably been alive when it happened, but they would have been little when the Chris Brown and Rihanna thing took place. So it's not necessarily like right there as like this happened in timeline. It's part of the history book. It's like people who didn't live through Pearl Harbor, people who didn't live through 9/11. They have a different connection to the facts because there's something with humans where if we weren't alive for the time, it's not quite as impactful as if we were.
I know, and we're doing our conjecture on this stuff, you know, the noodling on it.
Yeah.
I'm curious too. So Chris Brown, he kept producing content, correct?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Is Diddy?
Oh, about a year ago he had an album. So I mean, had he not been stopped, yeah, I think he probably would have kept going.
Yeah, because I'm just also curious is, you know, so one thing that masks bad behavior is when you can't constantly put out new content that people like. Mm-hmm. And so I think the combination, and so what's, and also Chris Brown's fan base compared to Diddy's fan base, ages, are they roughly the same, different?
I'd say Chris Brown probably skews younger. I mean, Diddy's kind of fallen out of the spotlight over the last 10, 15 years. He released an album, that Love album. It wasn't a hit.
Right, and see, that's what I think it might have been too, is that, you know, Chris Brown's release of newer content hitting a younger crowd that's not going to have the same memory span is going to wash over a past that they weren't even part of because he's got new content out.
Yeah.
Diddy, not so much because you don't have new content to wash over that anymore. So I got a feeling that's playing into it as well.
It's a simple explanation, but I think it's a true explanation because I think you're exactly right. When we think about Diddy, we think back to the 90s. We think back to the early 2000s. We think about that time in history. A lot of his stuff was fun. It was, you know, it was good times. And then we see the overlapping timeline of what he was doing. It's like, oh my God. And he stopped. I mean, there really wasn't good new material for the last probably 20 years. Chris Brown has continued to put out hit songs over the last 20 years. And you're right. It's a new generation. I don't think there's a ton of people who are in their 40s who listen to Chris Brown initially that maybe still be jamming up to Chris Brown. Some, but he's managed to finagle a whole new generation with all new music. And that I think is the thing is they're able to overlook it because, oh, this content is so good. And fandom's an interesting thing. Fandom can make you overlook horrible things in people. You know, look at, there's still R. Kelly supporters out there that just refuse to believe. I mean, what is that? I mean, we see it in politics where things are just obviously horrible as shit. Yet they're like, oh, he's the greatest individual or she's the greatest individual in the world. Notice I'm not taking sides there. But it can be on anything where it's just, I am not going to see reality. My blinders are on no matter how much is directly in front of me and on the side screaming, this is wrong and horrible. People just keep going down these paths.
So part of what I think this is when you have an individual that has great talent that creates content that's consumable, it's going to allow people to, well, in their own minds, to want to look past what's negative about them because they have great consumable content, because they're great artists, or they have great talent. And when a great talent stops creating consumable content that people want, it's easier to focus on their wrongness.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, you look back through history, there's a lot of people in history with amazing talent, but had an abhorrent behavior.
Yeah.
That, you know, I mean, just look at, you know, all the things you've heard about. Again, just the rumors and stuff, you know, you have the Andy Warhols, you have the Woody Allens, you have a lot of people that had some off personality. I mean, there's a lot of claims, you know, Leonardo da Vinci, let's go all the way back to him. He had a lot of charges back then. Being homosexual was illegal. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of charges that came against him that got waived because they liked him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they loved the content that he was producing, the art he was producing, the things he made himself valuable. I guess a good way to put it. He made himself valuable to the people that wanted his content. And when people want your content because you now are producing something that makes them feel good about themselves, again, go back to what you're still reading, Robert Greene's Law of Human Nature. We love to consume content that validates our own self-opinion. Mm-hmm. Chris Brown must be producing content continually that was validating people's self-opinion about who they are, what they want to believe, the things they feel emotionally. And so since he's continually producing content that allows people to connect with themselves and feel better about themselves, as opposed to Diddy, who's just relying on the power he had accumulated mm-hmm. without producing content, it starts blowing up, I think.
That's interesting. I mean, I would say Michael Jackson is probably a fairly decent comparison as well. He stopped producing great decent content 10, 15 years before his death. I mean, did he come out with, I mean, his last album was, I think, 2001-ish. Mm-hmm. And that didn't really produce many hits either. Good album, by the way. I personally enjoyed it, but no, it wasn't a hit. And as his celebrity kind of went down in terms of new content, there was still the lore. It's like, oh my God, Michael Jackson, that was right. given. That would be there forever. It still is. He's dead. But he wasn't producing content that people really liked. We weren't even calling it content back then. We used to call it songs.
Right.
But yeah, there was that. And as the content that was good decreased, the allegations against him increased, and the believability, at least of the public, and I'm not saying anything about the actual content of the allegations, I'm just saying public as a whole, started to believe it more and more. Initially, there was a ton of denial. There's no way this could be true. He's being taken advantage of. He's Michael Jackson. People are going to do this, blah, 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 blah. But then it just kept going, and the list kept going. And I personally, at the end of the day, if I were to base my opinion on everything we talk about on the show and personalities and stuff, do I think he probably did some bad things? Yes. Do I think he even knew what he was doing? No. I think he had such a personality disorder. Doesn't excuse it by any means. There was some right. dark shit going on there. But I think he was so brainwashed in his own world, it was different. Like a Lori Vallow almost. Just they believe what they're doing is right. But all that being said, the society, you know, it slowly drifted to, yeah, he's probably a shitty human being deep down, but it's got good songs. And then we still kind of disconnected it. It's interesting what we connect and what we disconnect from historically once we've really kind of seen who the person truly is, whether it's Michael Jackson, R. Kelly, Bobby Brown, whatever, you name it.
So these are great points we're making on this content or these songs that these celebrities are producing and how it resonates with their audience and gives them a pass because, in other words, it allows people to ignore the negative aspects of their personality. Elvis is another group.
Oh, God, yes. he would be R. Kelly today if this shit happened.
He wasn't doing bad things to people, but he was such a self-destructive person that after he's stopped creating good content, good songs, people started focusing on the negative aspects of him and his issues and demons he's dealing with, his relationships. And so the public aspect of him started plummeting. So what did he do? He reinvented himself with a CBS special, skyrocketed back up again,
yeah,
and then fell again. And it was the entire time, if you think about it, all the way the public was either supporting him or going against him came down to the content he was producing at the time.
It was. But I mean, with Elvis, there's another argument there with him, and that's the women. I mean, frick, Lisa Marie, or not Lisa, not Lisa Marie, his mother, her mother, Priscilla.
Yeah, Priscilla. Yeah,
14 when they started dating.
Yeah,
R. Kelly. I mean, it would be like that today. I mean, it would be like Diddy, maybe not quite like Diddy, but it would be a sexual predator today. At that point mm-hmm. in time, they looked at it, well, you know, my grandmother got married at 14. It was okay. I mean, yeah, in like the 20s. But again, we have to look at society in the time window that things are happening. And there actually was more acceptance of that sort of thing, at least historically, where it was one off, where it's like, well, a lot of families get married young. Today, child predator, without a doubt. Yeah. But he made good songs, so we stick with that. And that's just this weird disconnect that we seem to have with our celebrity culture.
If someone makes us feel good, then we give them a pass a lot of times, too much so, yeah. without actually looking at the facts. Because again, our higher brain is the cognitive, thoughtful brain. The emotional brain is the lower brain. And when we're listening or we're witnessing beautiful artwork, it's more of our emotional brain that's engaged, and so we tend to give passes to things we might not otherwise want to give passes to.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Let's be honest. Nothing kills the thrill of a good murder mystery like a commercial for laundry detergent. It's like someone slapping a closed sign on your favorite dive bar. But you're not here for that, are you? You're here for the good stuff. So ditch the ads and upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get your crime straight. No chaser. Commercial free with extended interviews and early access. It's like getting the bartender's special when the bar's already closed. Search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and drink it all in.